Hey guys, we're back. Another episode of Smart Brand Marketing. Today with me, I have Yvonne Hyman. She is an expert in business efficiency. How are you, Yvonne?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Yeah, we just spoke a little bit about outsourcing when you're not ready to outsource.
Oh, yeah, that can backfire really fast because people can't read your mind. That's pretty much what it comes down to. Outsourcing means you are bringing somebody on that needs to understand your business, how you are working, what needs to get done. And understanding that takes time. And either way, you have your workflows and your processes ready. And words that often come up are those standard operating procedures and that kind of thing. And when you don't have that ready, you're going to spend hours and hours trying to explain to somebody that's completely new to your business how you want your business run. And if you're not ready for that, it can backfire really fast.
Yeah, what I found, and I don't know, maybe some people are selling the dream a little too much, but when some of the business owners try to outsource, right, they pretty much think they'll be able to get someone to run their business for them and just lay on the beach somewhere. And personally, in most of my businesses that I've ran, I've found that to never be the case. You know, there are a couple, like, you know, when you're producing something that's not super complicated or it's got to do with products or low-level services, yeah, maybe. But anything where there's a lot of thinking involved, I find it's difficult to do.
Yes, it is. Yet I have to say my goal with my clients at least is to for them to be able to step away from the business. So the ultimate test, if we've done it right, is you being able to step away from your business for 4 weeks and it's not going up in flames. There are... Yes, I totally agree. There are certain things where it's like, I just can't outsource it, or trying to make somebody understand how it's been done is a lot of work in the front end. I totally agree with that. But when you get what's in your head out of it, and you are able to put it in a package where people can see what you are doing. So, for example, standard operating procedures often mean like a employee handbook, something written down. But it's 2019, which means the moment we have it printed out on a piece of paper, it's already outdated. The program got updated, something changed, whatever that is. So what I do with my clients is those steps and those things that need to get done, we build an interactive standard operating procedures. We combine tools like project management systems. I personally love Clicker, but Asana works the same. And we combine those with screen recordings like Loom. So with those everyday jobs and time suckers and all of those things, rather than trying to explain to somebody, the person that does the job right now records the video, records everything that needs to be done, talks to the camera, and just walks the person that's going to take over through the process. Now, when something in that process changes, the person that's now taking care of it is tasked with, hey, if something changes, go click your Loom button and re-record that video, swap these out. So we have an ongoing process that is always updated and easily for somebody to jump in. Because you also need to be on the safe side of what if that employee that's taking care of that task right now is sick or decides to quit, or you decide they're not doing the job right and you want to fire them. Now you're at a point of, what did they do and how did they do it? You don't want to end up in that situation that suddenly you can't take care of a client because you don't know what the team member exactly did for that client. It's like, I'm struggling right now helping a bookkeeper out of that exact issue. So with that, we are bringing technology in again to make all of this interactive and keeping it updated for you to be able to step away from your business without feeling like a hamster in a wheel and having to do it all yourself all the time.
Yeah, I've seen that work for some businesses that I've had, but for a couple, like the really higher end things where I am the expert, it's almost impossible. You know, like with the one we're doing now, which is the marketing online courses, you know, when we have a very high level client come in with new problems, and you know, usually it's new problems, you know, new niche, new problems, new situation, like the team has no idea. They just look at me, you know, like once I tell them, then they got it. But the initial thinking, you know, that really deep thinking, just it's not, you know, not doable.
Yeah. And that's where you try to then record that situation and that education and that figuring it out where you are the expert. There's no question about it. And having that recorded, your team can then learn with you and can follow up with that. So yes, on the initial piece, it's all you and you are the expert. You are the face. I'm not saying there is a way of completely stepping away with your business. I believe no matter what kind of business you are running, there is no such thing of 100% stepping away from it. But where I want to get people is having the security that the business can run without you. I had to learn that the hard way. I nearly lost my business because I wasn't set up yet and had to take care of my husband struggling through cancer and losing that battle. And with that, I just really had to learn the hard way that we in our businesses, for our business to be bulletproof and to be able to withstand the time, we need to be able to step away. Are there going to be situations where we have to step in as the CEO, as the owner? Yes, there is no question about it. Life happens, clients happen, it is. But we want to get you and everybody as close as possible to be able to step away, to take that vacation, or to take care of a loved one if that's what you need to do.
How big is your team now?
My team ranges, the core team is 5 people, but 4 different jobs we are bringing in up to 15.
Okay. And your 5 core people, what roles are they doing that you like were able to systematize?
So that is on the agency base. So I do efficiency, business efficiency consulting, but I also do, I own a web design company. Meaning I have brought in people that are better than I am at social media marketing and the more IT and server side of things, as well as brand experience and that kind of thing. And we have been able to really put a lot of things in a box, as much as we entrepreneurs don't like boxes. Boxes make life easier. Rather than the client telling us what they need, that you know it, they often don't even know what they need. We put it in a box and say, hey, this is what clients usually need. In your case, we want to add this and that to it because it makes sense, because it fits your needs and your goals, as well as then moving into more of the business strategy and the project management. Specifically with web design, the steps are always the same. Even though it might look different to the client or to the viewer, the actual behind-the-scenes steps are exactly the same. From the brand design to the viewer experience to the actual web design to the marketing piece to the email piece, the tech behind it is always the same. So you can run through, and even if you initially don't necessarily see the processes, when you start paying attention to it, you see these same steps over and over and over again, and you can build that process map. And with that, build the internal processes and make it easier of, hey, this is how we do this. This is how we approach that. This is what tool we are using over here. And build those internal processes and don't have to spend the time of, what do I need to do next? What did I forget? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, for some businesses like that, it is really easy. When I used to do book publishing, it was very simple, all the same steps. for the higher level, you know, services, it's more difficult. Like the thing I'm thinking about now is bringing an apprentice on. And they would pretty much be with me day in and day out for a while to figure out what I'm doing. And hopefully they can kind of grasp that and maybe put that into a system, you know, because it's a little easier if you teach someone, they'll be like, oh, I get it. You know, these are the steps. Maybe, you know, if they can do it, that means I can hire it out. But it's not easy to just, you know, write that out because it's always a little different.
No. Yeah.
But like you said, web design, yeah, that's the same steps over and over. Some businesses are really good for that.
And I would challenge a lot of businesses are actually really in that process mindset and in that way where you can find commonalities. Finding those and getting the mindset to it is most of the time the most difficult just because we are in it. We don't necessarily see that. So when you mentioned bringing on an apprentice, that often can help because they're coming in with a fresh set of eyes. They are not in the day-to-day process. They see where things might be lacking or even just looking at it from a broader perspective than we do.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. You know, the only thing about apprentices, and I spoke with a friend of mine about this because he's had two or three, it takes about 6 months of hard training, right? And then usually if they're superstars, they will help you grow your business amazingly. And then after 3 years, they leave because they're superstars. You know, you can't hold on to superstars forever. They go do their own thing, you know, because they're just too good. So it's one of those, you know, like you get them, but then they leave. Like, you know, there's an expiration date and you got to find a new one. So that's the only downside that I see. You know, it's a decent downside. But, you know, I think having 2 years of amazing help is maybe worth it.
And there is two things that I would recommend. Bringing on an apprentice, have them record as much as they can. Even if it's, as I said, just having Loom running on your screen and just recording what they are doing, to have that, because we are all visual. So that way, if you're bringing on somebody new, there already is some visual content where they can start and it saves you some time. But also, I like to look for unicorns. Unicorns meaning the apprentice that does not want to run their own business. They don't like taking that risk. They like having a paycheck. They like the security of being an employee, but they have the mindset of an entrepreneur. They have the vision and the excitement that we have with wanting the stability of employment. Call them unicorns because that combination is not always easy to find. Often when you have that entrepreneurial mindset, you have that drive. They also really have the drive to running their own business. But there are once in a while you can find somebody that likes the security of being employed with that mindset.
Yeah, well, I thought about this, right, before looking for an apprentice. And the one possible, because I'm not ready at this moment because I have some, you know, other stuff to take care of. But when I'm thinking about like June, July of hiring them, and the one I found is a person that ran her own business for a while. It was okay. She still wants to grow and do something with business, but she realized she doesn't want to do it herself. Like, she doesn't want all of it on her shoulders, right? So it's kind of that thing, right? Like, she knows how to run it, super smart, super creative, but just does not, like, wants that security just a bit. Like, doesn't want, you know, waking up in the morning and be like, oh, what now? Every single day, right? So, yeah, I guess that could be, you know, that type of a unicorn. But, yeah, I think people that maybe ran a business previously for at least a little while to see how hard that is, they might have less of these, you know, rose-colored dreams of, what it would be like to run a business by myself. I can do this. It's like, well, you tried. You know what?
Everybody can do it. The question is how good they can. Like, we've all learned our lessons. But yeah, I'm like, what I recommend to pretty much anybody that's bringing somebody on is start recording. We have all the tools right now. Again, mention it again. Loom is one of my favorites, where it's literally just a Chrome extension. Click the button. It can record your audio too, so you can walk somebody through what you are doing. And just having that visual asset, if somebody needs to take over or if somebody new comes in and you have that collection of assets of how things get done. There is no reason when it comes to technical things of, okay, how do you connect with clients? Do you have a client portal? What kind of tools are we using? You know, a lot of that technical implementation, there is no need for you to really sit there and show them how that works.
Yeah, it's true. Let me ask you this, because I've met a couple of my listeners, and a few of them actually have problems delegating.
I can
see it being a major problem for just a handful. Who would you recommend to be the first hire? Because that seems like the top question I get from them. You know, and I always say, let that not be sales. But let me get your opinion.
I would like to say that's an easy answer, but it comes down, especially because you say when people have trouble delegate. I'm guilty of that one too. I'm a perfectionist. It's this. I know exactly how this can be done, and this is the fastest way, and this is the best way. And it took me forever to let go of that. So the easiest for a personality type like that, that has trouble letting go, would probably be something in the area of content writing, social media, and conversational pieces, because it seems like that's the easiest for us to let go and for us to learn to let go of that feeling of having to control everything. And then from there, so I'm literally just taking it from the personality type.
Yeah.
Where it's the easiest for us to let go and learn that just because they might not do it our way doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means their brain is working differently than our brain is working. And as long as they deliver a good product at the end or a good service at the end, who cares how they got there? And starting to work with these, let's call it VA type people, where it's social engagement, where it's social media posting, content writing, something where even if something goes wonky, it's not too bad and you do have control over it and you can check before it goes out. I see that as a good step to get started to be able to start letting go of that control.
Yeah, that makes sense. Even though I could see a few would think that content is their most important thing and they can't put anything on their website that's not theirs because it's got to be perfect. Yeah, so I can still see the little hamster wheel going in. But I'll tell you this. I was a perfectionist. All it took was one burnout and I let go. That's it.
Yep.
That's what it took. It was just a really bad burnout. I was like, I'm done. I am done. And you know what? It didn't change anything. You know, as long as your content is, actually everything you do is just 80% good, you're fine. You're fine. That 20% is just, you know, that's whatever. It's just, it's a part of the game. Like you can't do it all perfectly.
It comes back around to the so much loved saying of done is better than perfect.
I like that one.
And you know, it's, funny anecdote. I do know my way around graphic design and Photoshop and just the technical side of things. And we rebranded my personal business, Ask Evie, maybe like 6 months ago or something like that. And I worked with an amazing lady that is really great at capturing the essence of somebody and putting it into a graphic. And that poor woman went through hell with me because I was like, this is what I want and this is how it's supposed to be like. And you know what? What other people saw is not what I told her I wanted it to be. It wasn't my personality. It wasn't me. It wasn't even close to what it's supposed to be.
Oh, wow.
Or what I am conveying to people. It was what I call fluffy and peachy and teal and not the strong and German and roughness that I have in my personality. So with that, when people come to me and they have those control and everything needs to be perfect, I'm like, that's just your perception. That doesn't mean it's going to be like you are and really fitting who you are. It's how you perceive you to be, not how other people actually see you and how you want them to see you. There is those two different things of, yes, we want it to sound like us, but it doesn't mean that people perceive it to sound like us. It just means we perceive it to be that way.
Yeah, I can see that too. Yeah,
that was just a whole runaround.
those are not easy, right? Unless you actually know yourself. And that's also difficult because you have to reflect quite a bit and get a lot of feedback. And I think a lot of people are scared of that feedback.
And we are always growing and changing.
That's another thing too, right? Like when I think about myself like 10, 15 years ago and now, it's like, I don't know if I would hang out with that person. Like, I'm just not sure.
Oh my God, yes.
Right. Let me ask you another question, because this is a problem too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're starting to grow a business. You brought on a bunch of clients or just have, you know, an influx of sales, whatever happens. And you're thinking of bringing someone on, but it's that danger zone where you might bring someone on and the sales might fail because you've never had these type of sales before, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this like this, you know, there's this weird line you're threading where like, you know, I need help, but I might not be able to afford them in 3 months. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. Yes is the easy answer. The difficult answer is to make it work. And I think a lot of us that have been a year or a couple of years in business have been in that balancing act of trying to make it work. And what I like to do at that point, rather than starting out with a team and full-time hiring somebody, I like to start working with hourly-based support teams or that kind of thing. There's a lot of online, how do you want to say it? Websites and online communities where rather than saying, okay, I am hiring this person for that many hours or for that job, I can just pull support in on an hourly base. And you don't even have to vet those people yourself. There are services out there that already have vetted people for you where you don't go through this whole, do they really know what they are doing and how are they doing their job? You can get the full resume. They are background checked. They are checked on their knowledge. They have often reviews so you can see other people that have worked with them, what kind of experience they had. That is a good way for that in-between stage where you don't know yet, okay, am I going to have enough hours for a full-time person or is it just part-time person or do I really just need a couple hands to jump in right now? That's the good in-between.
Okay, I like that answer. Evie, where can people find you?
I am pretty much Ask Evie anywhere you look. It's askevie.com and on social media, if you're looking for Ask Evie, that should be me.
I hope so. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me.
Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.